Thank you for joining us today. God's blessings on your worship.
Good evening. Welcome to worship to all of you who have braved the cold, windy weather to be here tonight, and to those of you watching at home who are nice and toasty. Tonight we gather for Ash Wednesday for our divine service this evening as we begin the season of Lent. If you couldn't already tell by singing a hymn in the minor key and singing words like penitential, this is the season where we focus on repentance of our sins and the suffering that our Savior Jesus went through on our behalf. Ultimately, because it's a reminder to us that because Jesus went through so much, we don't have to experience eternal suffering and pain in hell. And what a blessing that is to know. And so for these next 6 weeks, we will be gathering on Wednesday evenings. And this year, our sermon series is called The Hand of the Lord. And we're going to be focusing on all different things that the hands of our Lord are capable of and things that he does for us. Tonight on Ash Wednesday, we think about the fact that when we come before the Lord, our hands are empty, but he fills our hands. He opens his hand and freely gives all good things to us. Thanks be to God. Everything that you'll need for our worship, besides the words to the hymns themselves, are printed for you in the bulletin, and this liturgy will loosely follow Divine Service Setting 1. I'll invite you to please stand as we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, on this day, the Church begins a holy season of prayerful and penitential reflection. Our attention is especially directed to the holy sufferings and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. From ancient times, the season of Lent has been kept as a time of special devotion, self-denial, and humble repentance, born of a faithful heart that dwells confidently on His Word and draws from it life and hope. Let us pray that our dear Father in heaven, for the sake of his beloved Son, and in the power of his Holy Spirit, might richly bless this Lententide for us, so that we may come to Easter with glad hearts and keep the feast in sincerity and truth. Let us pray. O Holy Lord, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that they turn from their wickedness and live. We acknowledge that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. Mercifully pardon our sins, that we may obtain your promise of forgiveness and salvation for those who believe in your Son. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. I confess to God Almighty, before the whole company of heaven, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. Wherefore I pray God Almighty to have mercy on me, forgive me all my sins, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all your sins. I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue now with some selections from Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me.
Create in me a clean heart, O God. Cast me not away from your presence.
And take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And hold me
your Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, you despise nothing you have made and forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create in us new and contrite hearts that, lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, we may receive from you full pardon and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. The Old Testament reading appointed for Ash Wednesday comes to us from the book of the prophet Joel. Chapter 2, beginning with verse 12. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land, and had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am sending to you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
To me.
Our epistle reading tonight is from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapters 5 and 6. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. And now, having heard God's word, we join together in speaking the words of our faith, and tonight we will do so using the Nicene Creed. We confess together, "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Congregation may be seated. The sermon hymn tonight is number 761, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our Ash Wednesday sermon comes from the Ash Wednesday Gospel from Matthew chapter 6. This passage where Jesus is encouraging his hearers not to be filled with pride whenever they use their hands to do all kinds of good works, reminding us that as we stand before the Lord, our hands are empty. Nothing in my hand I bring, as we just sang. In contrast to that, it's the hand of the Lord that opens up and gives to us all kinds of good things certainly physical blessings, but also, most importantly, spiritual gifts as well. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our hands, it's all about hands, this whole Lenten series. Our hands are amazing instruments. Our hands, when everything is working the way that it's supposed to, they really do a great job of showcasing the amazing kind of engineering that our Lord has done in creating our human bodies, giving us these hands that are capable of all kinds of intricate movements, and they're all made possible by these 27 little bones that we have in each hand and 34 little muscles, and it's all held together by over 100 different tendons and just little ligaments all in here, and they all just work together perfectly in many cases, not all cases. I know not everybody's hands work perfectly, but you know what I'm saying. Hands are really amazing. Even simple movements, snapping your finger, pointing at somebody, these things are just made possible by complex movements of muscle and nerve. And I was thinking about this a lot. You know, last week, a lot of you know that I went down to Florida with my dad, and I got to take in some spring training baseball, and obviously hands are such a big part of playing the game of baseball, right? I mean, you have to use your hand to pitch the ball and to hit the ball. But one of the most amazing things, the most impressive things that I saw hands do during my trip had nothing to do with what was going on the actual field, but it was actually the guy sitting in the section next to us who at some point in the game caught a foul ball, but not just any foul ball. This was a screaming line drive off the bat that just barely skimmed over the top of that net that they have down there on the field. And this guy reached up and he grabbed it with one bare hand. And everybody in the sections around us stood up and cheered and we're going crazy and saying, "Sign him up!" And it was just amazing. It was phenomenal. But I just thought to myself, it's even more mind-blowing when you realize how much has to work perfectly together. Like I said, muscles and nerves and everything working so well together just for a moment like that to happen. Hands are amazing. And not only do we use hands to catch a foul ball, but, of course, we use our hands for all kinds of other things, too. And we would say a lot of times we're talking about using our hands when we're going about our work. And, yeah, I know. Pastors don't have rough hands like all you farmers out there. My hands are never going to be calloused like yours and all of that. But I'm thankful that the Lord has given me these hands. I think we're all thankful, whether we work out in the field or not, we're thankful that we have the hands that God has given us because they allow us to fulfill the vocations that He's given to us. Even as a pastor, I mean, this very sermon that I'm preaching to you right now was typed out with these fingers, which over the years have learned where all the different keys are on the keyboard, right? So that they could end up on these pages. And yes, I know I don't always stick to the script that's on the page in front of me, but you know what I'm trying to say. Thoughts become words, and words get typed out onto a page, and all of that is made possible because God gave us hands. I think that's an amazing thing. And Jesus, in the gospel reading tonight, mentions hands. In verse 3, he says, "But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." And I don't know if you've ever thought about that phrase before, but that's kind of a fascinating thing for Jesus to say. How can we do anything where we don't let our left hand know what our right hand is doing? It seems kind of impossible, doesn't it? Let's illustrate this for just a moment. This is gonna be one of those moments where I have to go off script a little bit, okay? And it's gonna be a little interactive. Don't get nervous, but this is what I want to do. Let's all try this, and you guys watching at home can try this too. So we're gonna do that thing where I want everybody to try to pat their head and rub their tummy with opposite hands, right? Okay? Good? A lot of us are doing good. Some of you are masters at this. Okay, now quick, switch to the other hand. This is where I kind of mess up a little bit. It's not easy. Now switch back. All right. I'll stop doing it. Hoyleton's got talent, right? That's good. It's so hard for us to do this, to make our left hand and our right hand move independently from one another. How could Jesus tell us to not let the left hand know what the right hand is doing? What is he getting at? The two hands are connected to the same body. The two hands are controlled by the same brain. What are we supposed to learn from this? Obviously, what Jesus is trying to tell us here is that when we use our hands to do good, we're not to try to make a big grand show out of it. Even though this is what our sinful nature would love to do, right? We want the attention to be on us in our pride. We want to be the ones to get the credit for the things that our hands do. But that's not what giving to people in need should be about. Actually, it really ought to be the opposite of that. So what Jesus is doing here is he's exaggerating a little bit to make his point. He's using a literary device we called hyperbole to say, when you do good, when you give to the needy, you should be so quiet about it that it's as if your left hand wouldn't even know what your right hand is up to. And it makes sense that Jesus would say that within the context of this big, giant speech, this big sermon that he is in the middle of preaching when he comes to this passage here in Matthew chapter 6. This is the middle of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. One chapter earlier in Matthew 5, where he begins the Sermon on the Mount, the very first thing he says to famously begin the sermon is, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, keep in mind, when Jesus is preaching his Sermon on the Mount, he is preaching to believers. He's preaching to people who have faith. He's preaching to people like you and me. So how is it that Jesus can look at people who believe and say, "Blessed are the poor in spirit"? What does that mean? Well, very simply put, when Jesus says this, he's referring to the fact that as we stand before the Lord, we are spiritually poor. We are broke. We have nothing to offer, nothing in our hands. We're empty-handed. And yet, Jesus says, to them, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them, belongs to us, because Jesus has taken these empty hands and he has filled them with all kinds of good things. He's filled them with forgiveness and salvation, and then, of course, also with all kinds of earthly blessings as well, the kinds of things that he has called us to share with those who are in need, very quietly, but to share those things. So it makes sense then that here in Matthew chapter 6, in this very next chapter, Jesus is telling us to avoid sounding a trumpet when we go to give someone in need something that we have with our hands. He tells us also to go into our rooms and close the door when we pray to the Lord with our hands. He tells us to wash our face and anoint our heads when we decide to fast, rather than taking our hands and clutching our stomachs and acting all hungry and miserable because we want a whole bunch of attention. That what he's talking about ultimately is that we, of all people, should know what it's like to come empty-handed. And we know that all of these good things, giving and praying and fasting and any other things you might add to that list, these things are not things that our hands are doing by themselves. And if we are able to accomplish any good in this world at all, it has to first come from the Lord himself. Disciples of Jesus don't try to take credit for the things that God's hands are already doing. It's as simple as that. And this is honestly something that we need to be acutely aware of as we begin this season of Lent together. These next 40 days should be for us a time of humility and repentance. They should be a constant reminder of our sin and the price that Jesus paid for us. Not because we're Lutherans and we just love being miserable, but ultimately, it's so that we can appreciate Easter even more than we already do. But what we don't want to do is turn Lent into a source of sinful pride. Look at us. Look at all these extra worship services that we're going to. Look at all these extra opportunities we have to put lots of money in the offering plate. Look at me and how I have decided to give up soda or chocolate or alcohol for Lent or whatever the case might be. Look at me. Praise me. Look what my hands can do for the Lord. No, that's not how this works. The left hand doesn't need to know what the right hand is doing. In fact, during this season, the only hands that we should really be considering are the left hand and the right hand of our Lord Jesus Christ, which were stretched out for us upon a cross. He emptied his hands so that he could fill us with all kinds of good things, so that we would never be left empty-handed again. And even more than that, he has also filled not just our hands, but he's filled our empty hearts too. He's transformed our very souls with his righteousness. So in addition to Jesus' words from the Sermon on the Mount, tonight we also heard in the Old Testament reading, we heard these words from the prophet Joel, "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart. Rend your hearts and not your garments." Earlier before that, in tonight's service, we heard from Psalm 51, David's words, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Both the prophet Joel and King David knew that we can't heal ourselves just by the work of our own hands. We need the hand of the Lord. We need him to freely give to us all the things that are going to transform us, that will give us joy in the Lord's salvation. So how does God do that? That's where he takes his hands and he goes to work. He has a strong, steady hand for us. I don't know about you, when I think about what kinds of vocations require a strong, steady hand, to me, one of the first things that I think of is a surgeon, right? I know a lot of times we talk about Jesus Christ, we call him the great physician, and he is. He is the physician of our souls. But he really is like a surgeon who works very precisely in order to save you and me too. He cuts out all of the bad stuff that's within us, the sin, the evil. He works to destroy every last bit of it. He even takes it upon himself. He takes it all the way to the cross. I don't know how many surgeons would be willing to die in place of their patients, but that's exactly what Jesus has done for you and me. He obliterates our sin with his own death. And now our sin is as far away from us as the east is from the west. Our hearts are made clean, and once again, our empty hands are filled with his gifts because he has done it all. So as we go about living our lives throughout this Lenten season, whether we use our hands to give or to pray or to fast, whatever we do, our new hearts help to keep this all in perspective. Our left hand and our right hand are connected. They're connected to the Lord. They're connected to his hand. And once again, just a few moments, we're going to experience at this altar what happens as our Lord opens his hand and he satisfies the desires of every living thing. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I do have a few updates for our prayer list today. Today we will be remembering, under hospitalized, we're going to be including Bob Brink, who is currently being hospitalized in Mount Vernon. And also we've added under ongoing health, Henry Reeder. Henry was recently diagnosed with prostate cancer. And so he will be undergoing further testing and treatment, and we pray for favorable results for him. And of course, we will also remember the family and friends of our dear brother in Christ, Alvin Sockleben, who passed away this past Thursday. Please stand as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Father, bless the holy Christian church throughout the world and all who enter this holy season of Lent in true repentance and faith. Guard and defend us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. Cleanse our hearts and renew a right spirit within us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, be with all who do not know the gracious invitation you have extended through your Son to return to you, that many may hear and be drawn to your merciful and saving hands. Lord, in your mercy. We lift before you, O Lord, those who have wandered from the faith, that the Holy Spirit restore them to the only hope of salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of the nations, watch over the government and those placed in positions of authority, that they perform their duties with honor for the good of all people. Lord, in your mercy. Be with all who suffer from sickness, injury, or any need, especially all who are on our prayer list, including those who are in care facilities, Thretta, Beulah, Janice, Jim, Charles, and Betty. We lift before you those who are currently hospitalized, especially Robert and Bob, and those with ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Thomas, Richard, Kurt, Don, Marvin, Amy, Ronnie, Francie, Eulene, Gina, Christy, Brent, Jackie, Henry, Nancy, Elaine, Laverne, and all those who are facing cancer. Place your healing hand upon them, giving them strength to bear their illnesses with patience. Comfort all who mourn the passing of loved ones, especially the family and friends of Alvin Sockleben. Remind them that in Christ, the dust of our bodies will rise again at the day of resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. And at this time, I'll invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with a special Ash Wednesday offering. Please stand. We sing together the words of the offertory. We continue now with our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please stand. For our post-communion canticle tonight, we're going to turn to hymn number 632, O Jesus, Blessed Lord, to Thee. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. Before we sing our closing hymn, I just have a couple quick announcements for you. There's a couple things happening tonight immediately after our worship service. First, the men's choir is going to get together in the balcony and sing for just a couple minutes, getting ready for the song that we're going to sing this coming Sunday. So men can head to the balcony right after church. And then there is going to be a vacation Bible school leaders meeting that's taking place. And so we would appreciate anybody who would be willing to help us out with VBS this coming summer. If you could stick around, we're going to have a brief meeting. It should be 30 minutes or less. So that'll be happening right here in the sanctuary. Also, during the prayers, of course, I mentioned about Alvin Sockleben passing away. And in case you haven't already heard about the arrangements, this coming Saturday will be the funeral. Visitation will take place at 11 o'clock in the morning, and then the funeral service will be at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, there will be a luncheon, but it will not be located here. We are having our short stuff shootout basketball tournament, and so the luncheon will actually be taking place over in the Red Room at the community building, and our ladies are helping to provide the food for that. So if any of you are interested in helping to provide food, you can talk to Marge Kasten or Elaine Meyer and let them know that you'd be able to provide a dish. With all that being said, we will close tonight with our closing hymn, number 722, Lord, Take My Hand and Lead Me.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. We hope to see you again next week.